Hallelujah.
Happy tonight.
Blessed be your name.
Oh,
I love you, Jesus.
I got something we're talking about.
Amen.
Makes me sing and it makes me shout.
Yes, amen.
Y'all know that one, right?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. How's that? I got something the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Happy to be a Christian tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. You beat me to it there. I want some more Bibles to Genesis 41. Got a few places to go to, but just a few scriptures. Brother Alexander will be here next Sunday. Me and wife will be leaving the family on Friday. We'll be back. I think we're going to make it back Wednesday afternoon, so I'm planning on preaching that night, Christmas Eve. Just going to have service like normal, nothing fancy about Christmas season, I guess. We're just going to have service. Same with the week after that, in case anybody wondered, we're just going to have normal Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Just like we always do. That's okay. Y'all welcome to come up. That's right. I know some of y'all don't want to stay up till midnight, so we'll just spare you that one. I'm not preaching against it now. That's fine if somebody wants to do, you know, into the New Year's and things, but it ain't really the New Year anyways. The Bible, I think it's in April, is supposed to be the New Year, and we're not seeking a world to come here anyway. Our kingdom here. We're seeking a world to come.
You know? Amen.
I'm waiting for that resurrection morning.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The day I'm looking for. Praise the Lord. And please remember my student there in prayer, especially for me as well. I'm really, to put it this way, I'm not going to be afraid to tell him the word of God. If he's going to be moving, he's going to know what we stand for. I want to make sure it's done the right way. And I know the Lord will lead me, but that's why we pray for one another.
Amen.
Bear one another's burdens. And I believe, if anything, from this weekend, I had plenty of people tell me that they were going to come, and they actually had good reasons. I'll say at that time, you know, and Brother Steve was one of those, and your mom passed away, what are you going to do? You know, and things like that. But if anything, I know Brother Zach was there every service, and I believe for anything. You know, I know we were blessed too. I ain't saying
Amen.
That.
Amen.
But I'm interested in finding souls.
Amen.
And he's really been feeding on it. He believes it. Just praying the Lord to give him that breakthrough, you know, that we all had to have. So believe with me, and I believe that God will get the glory. So, Genesis 41. It's going to be kind of a different thought, but I hope the Lord will make it plain to you. Genesis 41, 45. Just this verse here. The Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. I'll turn to Genesis 45. Let's just read verse 1. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. One more here. Go all the way to Revelation chapter 4. And we'll read verse 1. Don't have a whole lot. Lord willing, we won't keep you all day. But let God have his way.
Amen.
Revelation 4. Let's just read verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I've been talking about the original's return, and I'd like to take a thought tonight of God's hidden focus. God's hidden focus. Let's bow our heads tonight. We approach His Word reverently, humbly. If you have a need in your heart, you just want to lift up your hand and say, "Lord, you know what's behind this." Amen. God bless each one. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, tonight for all your many blessings. We've heard the word go forth in just testimony and songs and praise. We believe it's all you, Lord. It's all the Spirit of God. And how we appreciate you hearing our prayers and taking care of us day in and day out. Lord, you're just all over us all the time, even when we don't notice it. Father, if we'll just take a moment to slow down and to look around, there's the blessings of God all around us. We are such a blessed people. And we come tonight with thanksgiving in our hearts just to praise you. More than anything, tonight we want to leave knowing that we were able to worship you and express our love to you. Lord, we know you'll bless us, but Lord, give us just an opportunity tonight to bless your name and to give you praise. We pray that the word would come forth, that you would speak in power and demonstration of your spirit, that you would discern the thoughts and intents of every heart that's here, that everything that the devil's tried to trick into the Christian's life would be destroyed, Lord, and that you'd be glorified in this service. We pray that you'll heal the sick, that you'll save the lost, and that you'll fill the empty to overflowing. Commit the service into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray together.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. Like I said, kind of a different thought, but I hope it'll make sense as it came to me. I was reading in Genesis. That's where I've been doing my own personal reading at. And y'all pray for me, because that seems to be the one thing I hardly get to. When I do find time to read, it's like, well, I got to get ready for service in a few days. I better study something, you know. Even when you study the Word as a minister, I've heard other ministers tell me this too, that you still need to take that time just to read the Word and just to pray and to spend time with God. I mean, it does when you study as well for a service, but it's different. You know, it's just like anything else. We sing certain songs here, certain songs there, say this here. You all read the Bible at home, but you come to church for some reason. Why? It's a little different. It's all the Word of God. It's all the same Spirit, but, you know, it's just like a different part of your meal. I still want all the courses, though. Don't you take my biscuits away. Don't take the steak. I want it all. If I need a swig of milk once in a while or some wine to get me a little stimulated, I'm the spiritual now. The only wine we drink is at communion. That's at least what I believe. If you've got some other doctrine, that's fine, but that's between you and the Lord. But, spiritually speaking, I think we can be drunk all the time. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's the Word of God, stimulate. Lord, stimulate me. You know,
amen.
We hear all this preaching a lot on emotion and things, and I agree with that. You can go too far and base too much on emotion and things, but we got something worth being emotional about.
Amen.
You know, and Brother Branham one time had that woman dancing in the Spirit and things, and he kind of began to criticize a little bit in his heart, and then the Lord come and told him, if you just had the victory she did, you'd be doing the same thing she's doing. And I think it's the same way if we ever get a critical spirit. You just need to break that thing off and realize that maybe it's not that brother's, you know, boasting himself. Maybe he's just got something that you ain't got, maybe. And maybe you need to get it so you can have the same results. And I believe Brother Branham later said he was up on the pulpit dancing and thing after he got it, because if you ask, you'll receive. That's what I believe. That's the kind of God I serve, is a faithful God. A God that when he says something, he means it. He doesn't waste time. I praise the Lord for that. But here's what I was doing. I was reading there in Genesis. And I love it and I hate it at the same time, as far as I get to about chapter 40, 39, 40, and starts talking about Joseph. I mean, y'all know that. And it goes all the way to 50. Well, normally I only read a few chapters, but the second I get on 39, I just, boom, I read the rest of it, because it's a story and I like it, and I appreciate the type of Joseph. He's the type of Christ, and it's very prophetic in many ways. You can see, especially with the message of the hour, you can just see all these details, and you praise God that you can see what you see about it. But you begin to realize that from 39 through chapter 50, it's talking about Joseph. But the focus, as far as the content and the amount of content, is all on the famine in the land. It's all on Joseph's brethren and how they're dying, and how this whole plan has worked out, that Joseph was sold and imprisoned that he might save his brethren later on in all of Egypt. But I began to realize that though those are all good things and they're all part of the plan of God, there was something hidden in there, which is what we just read a minute ago. What was really the focus of Joseph's ministry? Who was Joseph ready to express himself to more than even his brother? And you don't hear a lot about this person. It's just kind of put in there, those first few verses that we quoted today. And that's his wife. There's no one, I don't care if a man's in love with a woman and marries her, there's no one that he expresses himself to just like his wife. There's a difference there. And as you watch Christ and Joseph is a perfect type, and we see how he treats Israel, and we know it's very prophetic, and that's why it led me into thinking about the book of Revelation. Brother Branham talks about that the bride is in chapter 4, and then you don't see her again until chapter 19. At least on earth, that's how I believe it. She's done with her ministry on earth. She's come up hither. We're getting on out of this place. Now, there's still, I believe, views of her and things like that, but she ain't worried about things of the world no more. She's having a good time in the marriage supper.
Amen.
19, she comes back for some warfare, because that's when Jesus comes on a white horse, with the saints behind him on white horses. Amen. But all those chapters in between are dealing with the Jews. Are dealing with the, we know the trumpets are in there, and it deals with the sixth seal and things like that. And it is very similar to what I saw in the book of Genesis, that there's all this talk about the Jews. And it looks like it's the focal point. And it is God's people. How many knows that? Don't you speak against Israel. They got their faults and failures just the same as we do. But they're God's people nonetheless. They're the elect of God. I know all Israel ain't Israel. You're going to find hypocrites just the same as any other move. But the children of God, there's an elect group in Israel. The elect according to foreknowledge, I believe it's Romans 11, says something along the lines that for the elect's sake that they're going to be saved. It said for you, they're enemies to the gospel, but of the Father they're elected. And they'll be there at one time. Amen. So it looks like when you take it as a natural, I hope you're getting where we're going with this. You just read it, you think, well, that must be the focus of this all. That must be what it's all about. It's God's chosen people. And naturally speaking, you'd be absolutely right. There's no, what other group of people is spoken more about in the Word of God than the children of Israel? They start out all the way back here with Abraham, and they never go away. They're all the way into the book of Revelations where it says there was 12,000 sealed from each tribe of Israel. But yet behind that, I began to realize that that wasn't God's focus the whole time. Those were His brethren, and how He loved them. Yes. But there was someone else He was looking at. Yes. But when God expresses what I'm about to talk about, it's not for an open show. It's only for those that are involved in it. And it is an absolute perfect time. We can talk about Joseph. Joseph was a Hebrew. He was born of Israel, just like any of the other brethren. But he was sold out to go into sin. That's where Egypt is, and it's the same as Jesus. When he was sold out by Judas, he had to go down to hell because that's where sin goes. Come on now. Not his sin, he took your sin upon himself. And we understand that they both were put in a dungeon and they both had this plan of redemption. But during that time, Pharaoh comes and gives Joseph a wife. And this isn't some Israelite. This isn't who people would think God would send to marry Joseph. Yet it was predestinated of God for this to be his wife. Who? Some Egyptian woman. Not only that, the daughter of a priest in some denomination, as we'll say. Why? Because when we get to this focal point, it wasn't pure and holy from the beginning. We're talking about redemption. That's where God's focus is. Israel was chosen regardless. But this group was in God's mind before the foundation of the world, and they fell into darkness. Just as much as this wife was stuck in Egypt, just as much as Rahab was stuck in Jericho. Come on now, Ruth was stuck in Moab. But the whole time, God was painting a picture of His true focus.
Sure.
Salmon at the time is the one that married Ruth. I bet at the time they didn't think nothing of that wife, that Moabite woman. But that was God's focus for the book of Ruth.
Yes.
Come on now. I said Roab. Come on, you all know, don't give me that look. Salmon married Rahab. Amen. Boaz married Ruth. We got it now. All right?
Yes.
Salmon was a mighty general, as we know, in Israel. And I'm sure during his natural life, that's what he was known for. But in the spiritual, Woo! It wasn't that. It was who he married. A woman that was ill-famed. A woman that looked condemned. But yet, through the blood, through the token, she was redeemed and became his wife. We've got Joseph, a perfect type of Christ, doing the same thing. Looks like he's not supposed to be in Egypt, but down there in the slums of where he's at. Just as Jesus went to the Jews, they rejected him. He went to the Gentiles, and that's where he found what he was really looking for. Hallelujah. And he marries an Egyptian woman, and he becomes his wife, and begins to bring the lineage that would bring on Israel. The blessing that Jacob, as we know, was crossed. And God was prophesying of the cross to come that saved our soul.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And during this time, as we've read in the book of Revelations, you go through the first few chapters, and I'm trying to make this as plain as possible, and it's all talking about the bride of Christ,
Amen.
The church of the living God. Through the seven church ages, it talks about John being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It says, one like unto the Son of Man, and thank God for a prophet to show us that was the bride of Christ walking one with Jesus Christ himself. Amen. To where there was no blemish between them because the blood worked.
Amen.
The blood worked. The blood brought redemption.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. But yet, it only takes a few chapters. And all of a sudden, we get to chapter 4, and it says, come up thither. And Brother Branham talks about that being the rapture, taking the bride away from all this tribulation that is to come. And yet, you don't hear anything more about her. Why? He's spending his time on what he wants to. His real focal point. Spending time with his wife. And that's not something that, if you're a real man, that's not something you should go talking to anybody else about.
Right.
That's time between you and her, mano y mano. That's it. No one else allowed in. How privileged we ought to be. We say these things. I'm a part of the bride of Christ. Do you understand what that means?
Come on.
Why is the stars in the sky?
Come on.
Why is there a planet here? Why are all these things made? Why is the Word of God restored in the last day? It's because God wanted you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Exactly.
It's real focus.
Sure.
Oh my. Hope is making revelations what it takes. Right. See, we can hear it and we can talk about it, but don't forget that revelation is faith. This is something you've got to believe and accept for yourself and allow that to take over your doubts. Take over your frustrations. Then when sickness and depression and all these things come, you've got something to go back and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm the one thing. God has everything. Yet I'm the one thing He's going after.
Amen.
He sent prophets to Israel. He sent them again. He sent them over and over again. But the whole time, God in His mind knew, those are my brethren and I love them. But I'm looking for that bride in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh my, I just love thinking about that. The real predestination of God, the foreknowledge. And it's not just foreknowledge. I hope you understand this. When it's predestination, foreknowledge, God knows everything. How many believes that? I mean,
yeah,
you're kind of dumb to tell me God don't know something. And if that's the kind of God you got, I don't want it. Because who does know that? And that's the real God. But God knows everything, so by His foreknowledge, He predestinated. What does that mean? He knew what would happen, so He took that.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And He designed His plan. And behind the scenes all the time is what I'm talking about. This focal point that never left. You see King David. What do people think? And my son's the same way. David Goliath. Mighty man of war. And this is all true. Christ is the same. Don't worry about that. He's a mighty man of war. He whipped the devil very, very well. But that wasn't his focus. Why did Christ come to defeat the works of the devil? Because you and I were bound.
Yes.
And He wanted to see us free.
Amen.
Not just to be happy and feel good about Himself. He wanted you free so He could spend time with you.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we see King David. And we see all the mighty things. We see how he has a great wife, Abigail, who actually helped him from making a big mistake. If you know the story, he was going to go kill out of his own will. And she came and told him to have patience and all these things and that God would take care of it. And brother, sister, sometimes God will do that to you too. Just go ahead and put the brakes on, because if you're trying to kill someone else, you're probably on the wrong road. Especially as a Christian, because you don't need to take matters into your own hands. We never need to do that. We need to put it in God's hands.
Amen.
And you need to understand when you start putting things in God's head what that might actually end up meaning.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've heard us pray. We're going to pray for souls and pray for these people to come. And we've seen them in and out, in and out. We're going to pray that they come and serve the Lord. Do you know what that means?
Come on.
You know what happened to the man that was living with his own mother-in-law? Remember that in the book of Corinthians? You know what Paul told him to do about it? He said, go bear well with him and take your time. Go pat him on the back and just have a few Bible studies. You know what he told him to do? Render him unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh.
Yes.
Start praying for somebody. Yeah, you might get a broken bone here. You might be sick. I'm telling you. But do you have the real focus of God?
Right.
And you can see past this and see a soul laying there in torment. And know that it you all didn't come the easy road. I know that. I've hardly met anybody who came some easy road. We all came the hard way. But that's when you know you really made a decision for Christ. It's when you didn't have nowhere else to go and you sold out everything. When you pray for people, I'm telling you, you better know what you're talking about. Because you might get something you didn't want. That's right.
Amen.
And God might be bringing judgment on some sin, and then you go and try to pray mercy. Brother Bram said this now. Right. Remember, he said, I have to be careful with my gift because God might have done that because you ain't obeying.
Right.
That's the only. I don't believe there's sickness apart from sin somewhere. Because if there is, then we're going to go to heaven. There's going to be sickness at some point. I don't think so. I think when Christ died, he destroyed sin, sickness, death,
yes.
depression, everything
yes.
of these wicked, this wicked world that we hate will be done away with.
Right.
The former
yes.
things will be passed away.
Yes, sir.
But, I'll tell you this, for the sinner, it's usually the best wake up call to get them back to Christ.
Amen.
Yep. Just to let the devil have them. I know it's sincere, and I know it's not easy, but it's the truth anyhow.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly right. When Joseph began to, it was, we just read there, his brethren come, and he can't hardly talk to them. He remember, he's trying to express himself to them, and remember, he's trying to be a tough guy. People think Jesus is a tough guy, but really, he's got such a heart for the people, he can't hardly take it. And right before he was going to, remember, he set them up kind of to show them that he wanted to open himself up to him the whole time, so he set up this, you know, he put the cap in, or the cup in there, and told him to go get Benjamin, and the whole story, go read it there at the end. And long story short, as he tells him that, you know, Benjamin, since he stole my cup, and how was that ordained of God? Since he stole my cup, he's going to have to stay with me. And they had just promised Jacob that if Benjamin doesn't come back, you can take my life. I think that was Judah who said that. And then he begins to express to Joseph, like, he tells him the story. And earlier, Joseph had already ran and tried to hide himself because he was going to start crying and couldn't be a tough guy no more. Then he came back out, and this is when he says, I just can't take it anymore. Let every man go from me.
Uh-huh.
As I make myself known to my brother. Y'all know the quote. I'm just going to read it real quick here. It's out of the fifth seal. Jesus give them robes. He's speaking on the fifth seal, which is at the very top of this. Like Joseph did to his brother in a tie. Look, when Joseph stood there, when he made himself known there by the altar, his own altar in his palace, his throne, he said, everyone, everybody leave me. His wife was over in the palace where the bride will be. Turn to Romans for me. Romans chapter 11. He said, I don't plan on keeping you too long tonight. Hallelujah. So really, finding yourself in the bride of Christ is the one revelation you need.
That's right.
Because everything else will stem from that.
That's right.
And you wonder why we hear it over and over and over and over. It's got to hit one of these days.
Certainly.
And why? Because it's the predestined. I'm getting ahead of myself now, but we'll get there in a minute. Romans chapter 11. Let's just go to, let me go down to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's exactly what I'm trying to express. Is Paul was talking to Jews, and they all dealt with Jews, and they talked about Israel very much, and it seemed like that was the focal point, but he had to come back and say something like this. There's a mystery locked in why this is happening the way it is. Why is Israel being blinded even though they're chosen of God? Is because that's not who Joseph married.
Amen.
That's not who Christ married. And Christ didn't marry us. I hope you understand that down here in time. This was something that happened before the foundation
Amen.
Of the world.
Amen.
That God sought His bride, not just anything, but out of His own being,
yeah.
who He was.
Yeah.
He saw a bride.
Amen.
And He saw what would happen when they had a choice. And you can say, well, if I was Adam, I'd have done this. If I was Eve, I'd have done this. If I was Noah, I'd do this. If I was Moses, no, you wouldn't have. You'd have done the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Why? Because the beautiful thing, we were talking about David. I didn't get where I was going. David as a mighty man isn't what was glorious about David. What was glorious about David is in the midst of his only recorded mistake. The only one holding against him. I believe that when he numbered the people, that was because the people were sinning. You go check that out. But when he got Bathsheba, that was all him. And he was looking at another man's wife. Listen now. And in the midst of that, we know he takes her as his own and murders the man and all these things. And it's such a terrible situation, and it absolutely is. So is Joseph going into prison being innocent. So is Jesus going in the grave completely innocent of any sin ever.
Amen.
Yes, it was very destructive and ugly and nasty looking of a situation. But look, in there is where you find God's purpose.
Amen.
Abigail, one of his beautiful wives, I'm sure a great woman. And there was a few others, I believe that you add them up, it's like 500 or something. But yet, in the midst of this situation, him taking another man's wife, where did Christ come from? The seed of that woman.
That's right.
King Solomon was the son of Bathsheba.
That's right.
Why? It shows you the picture. The world can never see this. When I'm about to explain this mystery of why the Jews had to be blinded so the Gentiles could come in, why it's this mystery of how the Messiah would come through Ruth, Rahab, all the way down Bathsheba. Why? It's because it's God's focus.
Right.
Here's this woman in adultery. Here's this man in adultery. Here's this disturbing situation. We know they paid for it. Don't worry. You'll pay for every sin we do too.
Sure.
But I'm glad God put it on Christ, because I wouldn't be able to bear it alone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But in the midst of all that wickedness, in there laid a seed of God's plan to take a woman that was defiled, and through His blood, through His purpose, through His focus, transform it into something that could bring forth the Messiah.
Come on!
Wow.
See, the religious mind can't handle what I'm preaching today. They can handle God going to Abraham and calling the elect of God and but no, wait. You're going to say God allowed something like that to happen to bring forth the Messiah? You reading the same Bible I am? That's exactly the way it was. And then they'll bring it right down to the church. Oh, you think God would use a church like that to bring forth the Messiah? Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's going to follow true to the type, because if there's a type, there's an anti-type. And you look around at the bride of Jesus Christ, who I believe are the elect of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't come out of the womb born again. They got born again. Are they adulterers? Maybe they were. Drug addicts? Sure. But in there, you see God's focus.
Amen.
To take something. He doesn't want to take something that's almost white and polish it off. God's interested in performing miracles.
Yeah.
He takes the blackest of black, and through His own will, through this own mystery, which is really His own heart's desire, through all time and eternity, this has been what God's wanted to do. Is to take something vile, wretched. Amen, Brother Andrew. That's me. And through His grace, through His mercy, and through His own power, manifest something that can bring forth the Messiah.
Amen.
When? Today. And more now than it's ever been.
Right.
Look, the word in Mary was just in Mary.
Right.
But the word in the bride is who she is.
Yes.
Mary brought forth the Word. The bride will be the Word that is being brought forth.
Amen. Yeah, that's good.
I think we need to get our face off Facebook, our nose out of the newspaper, and put it back in this message.
Amen.
If you're reading this Word, I'm telling you, I'm not saying something hidden, mistress. It is to the world. But if you read this message, it's because it's God's hidden focus.
Right.
But God has sent Malachi for. God has sent the Word in this day to show His entire purpose from the foundation of the world, to where we can look at it and it's just plain as day.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I pray more than anything. That's, you say, Brother Andrew, do you want the sick to be healed? Yes, I do. Do you want the empty to be filled? Yes, I do. Do you want the sad to be happy? Yes, I do. But what do you want more than anything? It's for the sons and daughters of God to see who they are in Christ Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Because then you'll be happy.
Amen.
Why? The Word told you to.
Right.
Rejoice, and I say again, rejoice.
Amen.
Why? Because it shows your faith. That's what we're really trying to do. That's what God's looking for anyways. He gives us the Word. He's given us the revelation. What's He want now? Is for you to take it and to walk in it in faith and prove that His redemption really did work.
Amen.
Glory to God. Who? The preacher? I don't even care. If you've got the Holy Ghost, that's what He wants to do.
Amen.
These signs follow them that believe.
Amen.
And I understand we don't want to put the comma. See, ministers sometimes get inspiration to talk to you folks. I hope you understand that. I understand we don't want to get the cart before the horse. You hear me now? Well, without a horse, carts don't go nowhere.
Right.
I ain't fucking focused on signs and wonders and all that stuff, but if we're the bride of Christ, we ought to have the best gifts.
That's right.
Come on now. If we're the bride of Christ, we ought to be adorned with the most holiness.
Yes.
If we're the bride of Christ, we should be the most spiritual people on the planet.
Yes.
We should. But thank God for His grace. And we will. I hope you understand that potentially we already are. If you've got the Holy Ghost, God already sees you perfect.
Yes.
That's what you have to believe. You have to put that image there.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
You know where that image comes from, right? Right here, brother, sister.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, I just can't help but believe. People, are we feeding on the right things?
Right.
Are we feeding on the right Word? You know, I'm your pastor here. I have to be honest and tell you the truth because I love you.
Amen.
I see too much fear in us when it comes to tackling things. When it comes to, maybe God wants to use me today. We're very apprehensive. Look, are you the bride of Christ or not?
Amen.
And if you want to do something for the glory of God, as I said, don't get the cart before the horse and get some puffed up dumb thing. But if you love God, how many love God?
Amen.
If you're serving with all your heart and you feel the Holy Spirit on you, and I think we all know what that is now. I hope. You don't, man. You're spiritually blind, dumb, and naked, I guess, because He's so close. Every service.
Amen.
This is why I've always, and this is just me, y'all have patience with me, I guess. We don't have a whole lot of special services because I think too many times the people think that God will do something different than a special service that He won't do on a Wednesday or Sunday. Because it's different for some reason. No, if anything, we just want to have fellowship.
Right.
We just want to find brothers and sisters. We want, you know, how are you going to witness to somebody that's going to church if you never have church when they ain't?
Right.
How can you ever get them to come? It's kind of, you're asking them to do something you wouldn't do.
That's right.
Would you skip your church to go to theirs? No. Why are you expecting them to do it? See, that's what I believe. We have revival, look, or we're going to have missionary efforts, or we're going to evangelize. Well, then we should be looking for other souls.
Right.
That's the goal. Amen. But I believe God's the same no matter where He is. Even on a Wednesday night when we're all tired and ready to go home, go work in your flesh. Because I don't believe the soul man is going to feel that way.
Right.
The soul man loves the Word of God.
Amen.
The soul man wants to hear the Word of God,
yes,
and he wants to receive it. Now, who are you listening to?
Right.
Who are you feeding, brother, sister? Come on now.
Right.
Amen.
You can go ahead and say amen if you know, yeah, I'm
right,
doing the right thing. Yeah, I'm here for the Word of God. Don't let the devil push you around and
that's
tell you
right,
you're backslid and everything else when you're not.
Right.
And if you are, well, repent and then start praising the Lord.
Amen.
Come on now. So I said, we got too much legalism sometimes in our experience. Are you in love with Christ? Are you His bride? My wife doesn't grovel to get back in my house. She's my wife. I don't care if we fight and stew. She's still got up sleeping in the bed the same as every other day because she's my wife. You know, I'm not going to put her on the street. That's what we think Christ's going to do to us. You ain't never gonna feel His presence more as you smooch. Now you gotta remember when you're doing wrong that thing that you feel that way for a purpose.
Right. Amen.
Because God wants to be in fellowship with you.
Sure.
But He can't dwell in sin.
Right.
You understand? And if you're feeding on the things of the world, you already know you don't need a preacher to tell you this, if you've had the Holy Ghost any length of time,
then
you grieve His presence away.
Alright.
And then we'll go through these 20-page processes of how we're gonna get back to God. It's a one-word affair.
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
That's it. You don't need to ask me or any other minister or go this place, that place, here, there, this revival, this special. You need, and Brother Branham hit on this stuff over and over and over again. You go through this man's prayer line, and you go through this one, and you're looking for the gimmick, the trick that'll actually get delivered. I'll actually, when really God's asking you to believe it.
Amen.
Regardless of what you feel like, regardless of what you think, regardless of what you feel all around you, you're going to do what the Word says because you've got the Word in you to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
People read the Gospels, and what do they see? God's focus is Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, and that's very good. You've got part of the picture. But the Gospels protect the book of Acts, right. Not the book of Acts protecting the Gospels. Why? Oh, Jesus knew he'd overcome. Now, he didn't. Let me read you a quote real quick, and we're just going wherever. That's all right. The Rising of the Sun, 1965. Listen now. Now, notice the quickening power, Zoe, bringing the Word. The mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you when you raised, when God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised up you also.
That's right.
And also quickened to life with Him. You are now quickened to life, although then you were but an attribute in His thoughts. But God had saw all in Him at the finish. See?
Right.
God looked down upon the body. The Spirit left Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, He didn't have to do that.
Right.
He had a choice, just the same as Adam and all the rest of us did. But only the second Adam would make the right choice.
Right.
Or the last Adam, I should say. The last one. Remember, friends, He didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and He didn't. If he'd have went up there as God, He'd have never died that kind of death. Can't kill God, but He didn't have to do it. But remember, now this is where we're getting to. What's God's real focus? It wasn't just that Christ died on the cross and He felt bad for sinners and He tried to make some way to bring them back. And it really wasn't God anyways. It was the Son, which is some kind of byproduct of the Father and all these things. And God brought something back to me there. That's praise the Lord. But you see the mess that you get when you don't have the Word of this day. How happy we ought to be.
Yeah.
But remember, God's focus here now. But remember, I'm reading the quote. He went there with you in Him.
Amen.
See, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, He saw both male and female. You know, Paul's making that up, book of Genesis. When Adam was made, He was male and female. When Christ came, He was the Word spoken. He was male and female because the bride was in Him.
Amen.
Glory to God. He saw both male and female. It was all redeemed.
Amen.
You part of the bride of Christ?
Yes, sir.
It was.
Yes.
Not is. Not will be when I get a real revival. It was.
Yes.
Redeemed. In that one body.
In that body.
See, they are one. Same word. The same word spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. See, this is where you begin to realize God's focus is always right there in the Word. It's right on the front page all the time. But you have to recognize that the same Scripture that's talking about God, that's talking about Jesus Christ, it speaks of the bride. You see what I'm saying now? People, yeah, I love Jesus, I praise Him and all these things, but they can't see that Jesus wants to be a part of you and you be a part of Him. And that day, you'll know.
Yes.
You'll know, not guess, not fluster around about it. You'll know that I am in the Father in me. There ain't two gods, there's one. And you in me. And I in you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We know what the prophet said, that day is this day.
Amen.
The bride's finally receiving it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
How do I know that? Well, I am.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
I believe I see others too. I don't think this is just a one-man show. I ain't never going to make it that way. It's a one Jesus Christ man show.
Yes.
And the one bride of Jesus Christ, which does have many members.
Amen.
And they're not all preachers too, just in case you were wondering. They're not all just the ones that had it all together, that were born in the message and never made no big mistakes. And I ain't dogging that at all, because sometimes that's even harder to come to Christ. Usually it is, actually.
Yeah.
People like that, if you don't get too far away from Christ, you might not recognize your need for Him.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem with America, and that's why it's so hard to evangelize here. And Brother Sampson and all them say the same thing when they come over. It's so hard to get people interested because they just heard it all.
Right.
They heard it all, and they don't have no need for God as far as the natural speaks, but that's not God's focal point.
Right.
He gets past that.
Right.
He can see your soul.
That's right.
He can see the emptiness in there. And that's what He wants to fill. He isn't interested in that. We think God's interested in pleasing our flesh all the time.
Sure.
Yeah. We do. Well, and we'll sacrifice spiritual things to feel good in our flesh.
Yeah.
You tell me how you know that. Why do people miss church to go to bed early?
Right.
Come on. I hope that didn't hit you too hard.
Yeah.
you're here tonight, so you're not doing that today. Maybe just, that's the hardest thing about preaching, about not coming to church, because every time you talk about it, the people that ain't coming ain't there. I'm telling you, as a servant of God, if you don't have a revelation to go to church, I don't know what revelation you even have.
Right.
Because what else is there to get fed on besides going to the house of God like you're supposed to?
That's right.
And I know you're supposed to read and pray at home, but God never made no hermits. He made those that would live for others.
Amen.
If you got eternal life, you'll live for others.
That's right.
And when you come to the house of God, you should be giving something back to God.
Amen.
And He'll reward you. He will. He's faithful. He'll reward you 30, 60, 100 fold over what you give. And we'll let the devil get his tired or just can't quite say amen. And maybe God's just ready to pour on you, just seeing if you'll just give him a little glory in the midst of your trial.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just too tired to say anything. I have to get up, bro. God understands. Yeah, you understand that He left the throne of heaven to come on earth to suffer for all of us every moment of His life down here so that we could enjoy His blessings.
Right.
I think the least you could do is say,
amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And when you say amen to the word of God, I believe He loves that.
Yeah.
I believe you say hallelujah, and you know what that means? I'm praising my God.
Yes.
I think He likes that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm reading a quote now. How can the bride come and fail to manifest everything was promised of him? And the groom come, and he wouldn't be the bride. But when he did everything, even to proving it by raising himself up from the dead afterwards, then don't the bride have to do the same thing? Have to be exactly what the Word said she would be in the last days? Don't she have to return through Malachi 4? Don't she have to be manifested like it was in the days of Sodom? Don't the world have to be just exactly like it is? Isn't these things a perfect identification of the Word of God made known to us?
Amen.
A lot of people heard this message and never got to God's focal point.
Right.
God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Amen. And He did send a prophet.
Yes, amen.
And He sent it for a reason. He didn't waste His time now. He sent the prophet to bring us the word of the Lord. And without that, we'd be lost. But Eliezer went with a purpose to bring the wife back to the groom.
Right.
And we want to know everything. We just want to understand everything intellectually. You tell me what Rebecca had knowledge of Isaac besides what Eliezer told her.
That's right.
Well, God, if I can cross the curtain of time, then I'd believe. Come on now. Are we going to bring it on home?
Right.
What else does God have to do for us to finally believe that this message has come to us to show us we're the bride of Jesus Christ?
Come on,
amen. You know, we've got a message from Eliezer. That was sent. Isaac sent him with a message. Actually, the father, but you understand what we're talking about now. Go one purpose. That's it.
Right.
That's it. Go get me a wife.
Uh-huh.
In the creation, and I'm going to bring this to a close here in a minute, so I think you get it. In the creation, God makes, you know, the stars, talks in very deep detail about all these things. And He brings the animals, we know the sea creatures and the creeping things, and all the way through until He brings Adam Himself. The very pinnacle of His creation. And then He stops. He says it was all very good. Yet, in that whole part there, you never get a glimpse of what God really wanted. That. Because it's not until after that that you begin to realize God looked down and saw, man, alone. And what I want people to see, what I want men to see, the purpose of my creation, what I want them to see isn't there yet. So He allows Adam to feel this way just the way that God did. He didn't have to. You understand that? God can do whatever He wants. He could have made Adam just fine by himself. But it wouldn't have brought forth God's desire, His attribute of who He really was. He had to do that. That's the reason the fall happened and everything else. We understand that. He had to express He's a Savior. He had to express He's a Redeemer. In order to do that, there had to be a fall.
Right.
And God finally gets to the point where Adam is alone and He brings forth a woman out of Adam. And what did Brother Branham said? The woman was not a part of the original creation. She was a byproduct. But the byproduct, listen now, was God's focus. And we'll belittle ourselves. We'll call ourselves this. I made this mistake. I'm this worthless, this, that, or the other thing. Not knowing that the whole time, you are God's focus. You are His desire. You are His world.
Oh, God, yes.
Just letting it sink in a little bit, if that's okay. I think sometimes we just need to ponder these things in our hearts and realize, yes. What does this really mean? I think that's what Mary did when she pondered these things. Oh, well, wow, I'm really going to have a baby. I've never been with a man, but I know it's true. The angel ain't going to lie to me. I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah.
It's going to be Messiah. We're going to call him Jesus. And she began to ponder these things. Why? Because the more you dwell on the Word of God, the more faith you have.
Yeah,
and it brings it to pass. And God knew He could trust Mary to believe the Word of God. Come on now.
Yep.
And then the Bride of Christ in the last day. Why did He bring you the Word if you were just going to fail?
That's right.
Right.
Why did He show you things that kings and prophets have wanted to see?
Amen.
And couldn't see it. And we'll let the devil, come on, you know this is true,
yep.
Talk us out of every blessing. Talk us out of everything God's promised us until we're just servants-y like everyone else. God help our unbelief. It doesn't make God happy when you try to be humble that way. He wants you to know who you are and then be humble. Not be humble and then figure out who you are. You see a beggar on the street and he says, man, I'm just nobody. I'm just nothing. Oh, God, nothing. And he doesn't really have anything. You can't really call him humble. He's just honest. That's how a lot of Christians are, unfortunately, and I give them that. At least the man that couldn't get his son healed said, Lord, help my unbelief. Look, I'm broke. I need help. That's fine as long as you know where to go to get help, but that's not where the bride is supposed to be in this day.
That's right.
She's been shown who she is, just like Christ was shown who He was.
Right.
Yes.
Then He could walk humble because He was the King of heaven and earth. The Bible says He was the Lord from heaven, standing on earth.
Yes.
And he uses authority to help others. And He still uses authority, though. See, we think to be humble, we don't use authority. No, that's the very definition of being humble, is using what is yours. Let me say it the right way. To not boast yourself, but to help someone else.
Amen.
We see people claim to be the bride, the most selfish people in the world. I don't think you got revelation yet.
Amen.
When you see people who even treat God that way, that they're only serving God to get something from Him.
That's right.
Well, when I go to church, I feel better. Well, that's fine, but that better not be your focus. Because if you don't get in line with God's focus, you'll never see His focus on you.
Right.
Why did God save you? Because there's something good about you? That's not what He told Israel, and that's not what He told the bride.
Amen.
That's not what He told Bathsheba. That's not what He told Rahab. Never complimented them at all for being what they were.
Uh-huh.
It was that He loved them anyways.
That's right.
That's why He loved them. That's it. That's when you break it down. God's focus to us is that four-letter word, L-O-V-E. He loves us. Let me read just threefold purpose here, like Christ's mystery of God, and I'll wrap it up here. Now notice again, now what's His threefold purpose? Please read this sermon if you haven't yet, Christ's mystery of God revealed. He goes into a lot of detail. He talks about this over and over and over again. I'm just going to pick one here and be done today. Manifest Himself, His threefold purpose now. Manifest Himself in Jesus Christ, to come into the body by Jesus Christ, to have preeminence to what? Restore back Eden, bring back that which was lost. That was the only thing out of order. All the rest of His things was in order, but He had to put man on free moral agency to fall so that He might be a Savior, to display what's in Him, see? His attribute of Savior. Something had to be lost, and the very thing that man fell and become lost, He become the Savior of that, taking His own law. And He could not do it as the great Jehovah that covered all space and time. See, He couldn't do it. And He had to become a man. He took kinship with the man that was lost. Amen. And become a man. God made flesh. Hallelujah. He says, I'm excited, but I'm not. Something inside. And that's the same. Amen. God become, from God to become me, to take my sin upon Him, that He might make me Him. Amen.
Amen.
Back to His great purpose of sons and daughters of God, for He is the eternal Father. That attribute was in Him, so it had to be displayed. Now see the whole threefold purpose, see? To express Himself. He wants now the world was lost, now He has to express Himself in a man to become a Savior. Through the reconciliation of the blood from His cross. Now He had to become that to die. in order to save and to bring himself back into the church, to have preeminence in his church. Now remember, it cannot and will not and never will be and never has been a denomination. He has to have the preeminences. And he is the Word. Amen. How can any creed be injected in there? It turns a church into a prostitute. To take any man's word or any creed or any denomination, it quickly is marked in Revelation 17 as a whore and harlots. The Roman Catholic Church being the whore and the Protestants being the harlots. Exactly as clear as any person could read it. We've come through the church ages and you see in those tapes you desire, if you desire it exactly. Then anything that joins itself with a creed outside of the Bible is a whore in the sight of God. And done the same thing Eve did. God away from the Word, which is Christ. Oh my. Now we see his mystery he had hid in his mind before the foundation of the world. And I understand that was a little lengthy, but that's the whole thing. We say this thing before the foundation of the world, God's thoughts. And but what was that picture? It was Christ and the bride. It was Jesus Christ that God, not just God as far as Jehovah, but God would take himself and manifest himself in flesh. That was part of his plan because inside of him he saw the bride of Christ and she would be flesh and he wanted to be one with her. Amen. So he became them. The sinners, the lost, that they might become him, the redeemed, the saved, the holy. And the promises of God in this day are that she will be him, that the same things that he did, she will do as well. And we're living in that season, and we're afraid to cast out devils. God help us. We're afraid to pray for the sick. We're afraid to speak in tongues. Jesus spoke in tongues on the cross.
Amen.
You're not a fanatic if you do it out of love for God. If you want to make science fanaticism, Jesus is the biggest fanatic there ever was. Everywhere he went, signs followed. But yes, first he was the Word.
Amen.
Then he could perform the signs because the Spirit would lead him. And we read these scriptures and we think, oh, that's fine, that's dandy. But what's God's real will? What's his will? We'll freight him. And get all worked up about it and everything else. You wives know exactly what your husband wants about every single day. Yeah. You husbands know exactly what your wife wants every single day. If you'll just be honest and give a little attention. The Bible said, they that be the sons of God are led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we're looking for God to lead us some other way. No, he leads you by the Spirit because you and Christ are now one. The mind that you had before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You now have.
Amen.
Because you've been converted.
Yes.
I pray you have. If you haven't, this doesn't apply. But if you have,
Amen.
It means everything.
Amen.
It means everything.
Amen.
You don't have to think so hard.
Right.
I've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He lives in me. We are one. And when I walk in the Spirit, I am being led.
Yes.
Amen.
Because the Word's my absolute. That's some man's opinion. The Word's my absolute.
Yes.
Lord, does God want me to pray for this person? Come on now. You know we get talked out of that all the time. We get talked out of moving out in the Spirit and things like that. And it's time for the bride to put that in the trash where it belongs.
Amen.
Why? You're the elect of God.
Amen.
The reason the gifts of the Spirit were even given were for you.
Amen.
Was it for the denominations to go make havoc with it? It was made to keep the church clean.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
I've already went through that. I'm not trying to even go that route. God help us. Maybe we just need to hear it more. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. God help me. But once we know we have the Word, and I pray you're convinced, because until if you're still wishy-washy, double man, think this might all be wrong, and you got to look at Scripture, I'll tell you that right now. I've had nobody challenge me yet using the Word. They've used their opinions and things, but that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. My opinions don't mean anything as far as flesh. If it ain't the Word of God, don't put your soul on it.
Amen.
But if it is, sell out.
Amen.
Once we know we've got the Word, we need to become the Word. And that's by faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It gives you the Holy Ghost. And that's what joins you unto the Lord. He that's joined to the Lord is one Spirit.
Amen.
Not two. You become one with the Holy Ghost. The mind that was in Christ is now in you.
Right.
And you know when you're doing wrong and when you shouldn't do that. Absolutely. We got to go keep going through that. You all know how to feel convicted. Now we need to feel blessed. We know how to get a no answer from God. Now we need to know how to just accept yes because it was already written in the Word.
Amen.
What did Jesus tell them to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news, tell them what it's all about, and we'll go and show them the hook instead of the bait. You tell me how you're ever going to catch a fish doing that. Is that how somebody handled you getting converted? Or was it the love of God that brought you? Was it the truth of the gospel? Amen. God's focus, this threefold purpose, the whole reason this Bible is written, the whole reason Malachi 4 was given, the whole reason every single prophet has come and brought the Word was what we are watching happen all around us right now. And I pray it's time for us to awaken to what God is doing. His threefold purpose, He already fulfilled the first in Christ. He made Himself man. He came, He died, He rose again, and He redeemed the bride of Jesus Christ. He's already done that, and He destroyed all the works of the devil.
Amen.
Next, He wants, and I love how Brother Branham says it, the preeminences. Why? Because the second you'll give Him first, you automatically get everything that He already did.
Right.
So we don't need to go beat the devil again. He's already defeated. We don't need to get healed again. We're already healed.
Right.
Then, after He gets that worked out, Lord help us, because it might just be us sitting right here. That's the reason He ain't got the preeminences yet. Say, how should I live? Live every day like it could be your last.
Amen.
But also playing like we could be here 100 years. See what I'm saying? We should be desperate. We should be praying. We should be seeking the Lord. But we should also not be getting weary and well-doing.
Right.
Or say, Lord, just come, Lord. And that's, I don't think that's what they said in the book of Revelation. I think He said, come, Lord, come. We've got the victory. We're trumping the devil, and I see every part of the bride here. Let's go.
Amen.
We got every hook, right, in Israel. I think once they got them all there, saw the Red Sea part, and it wasn't, well, guys, you think we should pray for the will of the Lord? Guys, the Red Sea just opened up. There's a pillar of fire back there. If we don't move, we're dead.
Right.
I think we ought to just step out in faith and walk through these two walls of water.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to bring it to a close. I just don't know how quite to do it, but I pray you got revelation tonight.
Yes.
Because that's what it's all about. It's about recognizing who we are in Jesus Christ and what that means. It means everything, every single promise of the Bible was to make us into His very image that He not only foreknew, but predestinated that we would be conformed into.
Right.
That when it's done with the bride of Christ,
amen,
He'll lift us off this earth. He'll renovate it, clean it off. We know we'll come back for a millennium just to prove that redemption worked.
Right.
That man will live a whole day and not die. And then, I wish we could understand it, but I can't. Well, I'll be standing there, and all of a sudden, the city will be in the fall. You ever just thought about that? And think of how great the millennium was, but yet God waited till it was over to bring the new Jerusalem down.
Right.
And what's the new Jerusalem for? Just the bride.
Amen.
God's hidden focus.
Amen.
Stand well to me. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord. I know it's hard to apply this to yourself. What's up? I love you. You see? Are you loving tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I know it's hard sometimes to say, how could I be God's focal point? And I know what I do. But I find myself doing, you know, I'm just a man like anyone else. All right? I've got temptations. I've got frustrations. I know what it's like. God doesn't have two categories of people. He's got saved, and that's it. You've got Holy Ghost filled, or you're not. You're born again, or you're not. And I know many times I'm failing, but I've gotten to the place in my experience where I've recognized that He's already shown me I'm His son. And nothing that I do, that happens, whatever goes on around me, whatever, can never change that because it's already been revealed.
Yeah.
Revealed isn't uncovered. It means you can see it. It's real. real and existing, more than me standing here right now, more than this desk right here, is when you see that you're a son or a daughter of God. And the devil hates that. He hates when you begin to believe that. Oh, he'll make you afraid of it. He'll tell you that you can't handle that. Or, no, there's no way it's you. It's got to be this person that you reverence or respect. And he'll talk you right out of the blessing. But I believe it's time, Bride of Christ. Bride of Christ. I'm not just talking. I mean, I believe every person in here is a part of the Bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Stand to your feet as the bride. With faith in your heart. Saying, devil, he's going to come. Hope you understand that. That's the whole point. Is God knows you're on your list. He knows that every enemy of the he's just ready to pull the rug out on Satan every single time. Just to prove that his word really did work. And he doesn't want to, he already beat him in Jesus Christ. He's not interested in that. His focus is on you and me now.
Right.
To believe what he's already done. You have the need to know. That's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying. Seeing where we're at in this day, you know. Are we waiting for something magical to happen in the Bible? I'm sorry, it already came.
Yeah.
Well, Grandma already told us that they'll think, they'll look for it, they'll think it didn't happen. It was going on all the time. It's not a dry time for the Bride of Christ. It's a desert for the world. It's a desert for those that have turned on the Word of God. They seek left and right, up and down, trying to find satisfaction. God help us to appreciate what He's done for us. When we go to bed, we know the same. When we go to bed, we know that if I would die tonight, I know I'm not dead. I know I'll wake up. Not in some terrible place, but in the place that Brother Bram said perfect doesn't describe it. Sublime doesn't touch it. And that's not even the resurrection. How blessed. What is it? What love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Let's sing that for a little bit here. Do you appreciate Him tonight?
Amen.
Do you love Him?
Amen.
And let's sing this like we mean it from our hearts.
To love
discouraged, I feel lonely. Lord, I just come back to this truth that you never want me to be alone. That you're always there with me. That you want to be there. You want to express yourself to me. Lord, I'm forever grateful for that.
I believe every person here could honestly say, Lord, we so appreciate what you do for us. For your faithfulness, for great is thy faithfulness, Lord. We appreciate what you've done for us, Lord. How you've come when we're sick and healed us. When we're sad and lonely, you come and you're a wonderful, glorious comforter. Counselor, our friend. You're our husband, Lord. You're our bridegroom. Lord, we pray, as the Bible said, that the bride would make herself ready. That, Lord, with a new fervor, that we would take the oil that's in our vessel and to not let our lamps burn out, Father, but be like the wise and make sure we got enough to make it the whole way. That we'll take the Word and not just let it sit on the shelf, but feed off of it, Lord. And use it, Father, when you convict us to cut sin out of our life. To get trim our lamps of the things of the world as Satan would try to bring it against us. Lord, don't let us grow a complex. Don't let us grow fear, temptation, and entertain those things. But Lord, let the Spirit of God have preeminence in us, Lord. As you promised that it would through the prophet when he said that he would get the preeminence in the bride. That we have to fulfill that word. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Those that might even listen to this later, that they would all hear the Spirit of God show them that they're a son or daughter of God. And that He loved, that you, Lord, you loved them before the foundation of the world. And you made sure, you sealed it with your own life, that they wouldn't be lost. And that they wouldn't just be saved, but that they would be redeemed. And you could bring them into your palace, into your kingdom. Just as Joseph's wife was put in the palace before any tribulation came. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these promises. We pray that we'll believe it like never before. Lord, where we have disbelieved you, God, forgive us tonight. Wash us in your blood. Anoint us with the Spirit afresh. May it fill us to overflowing. When you move on us by the Spirit, may we take that scripture that we are the sons of God. That we're being led by the Spirit of God, that you can get glory, Lord, through our lives. Lord, for the brothers, I pray for them that they wouldn't be afraid at the work, but to speak your word, to believe your word, to allow the signs of God to follow their life. That even if they turn the gospel down, they'll know that there was a true witness standing there. Hallelujah, and they'll speak in the judgment. Grant each sister the same in the home or even in the work with the children. Help our children to not even have a possibility of being an atheist, knowing that they've seen God themselves. Help us to live the right kind of lives, Father, that the pillar of fire would be welcomed at our houses. The angels would encamp about us, as you know. We know that you're here now, Father, and we appreciate that. We pray, Lord, that you'll have your way with us tonight. But I also pray that that your presence wouldn't leave us, Father, that we wouldn't grieve it away, but that each one would have this presence with them everywhere they go, to know what to do and to let the mind of Christ lead them. Grant to each one we ask. You know their hearts, Lord. I believe you've spoken to them tonight. May it be a personal revelation to everyone in this place. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Believe His Word now. Believe His Word. I still believe the signs follow the believers. I believe His Word, and I believe you do too.
Yes.
I'd like to open the altar up for those that would like to come forward with a request. If you'd like prayer tonight, you can come forward at this time. I'd be happy to pray with you. God bless you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone else? Thank you, Lord. God bless you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's simple, but it's the truth. We're the sons of God. If Satan's threatening us online, we're here to expose them. And tell them to leave. Would you join in faith with me as I pray for these up here?
Hey!
Jesus, you're